Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph, here at Pastor Adam.
Hey.
We're back, and you didn't have to wait a month. We're back.
We're doing good.
Yeah, we're doing good.
Even though there's stuff trying to keep us from doing it. We walk into the podcast room right now, and you don't know this, but our lights didn't work, and so we don't know why. So Steph and I are doing this by the light of a photo light?
Yeah, it's a big rectangle.
A big photography light.
Yeah.
So we calling this our candlelight podcast episode. Because
Steph
and I are
in
this really weird room right now with no lights on except for this random light. So
yeah, I'm not sure why that's not working.
Yeah, we don't know.
Fan light, whatever that is.
We turned the switch on and it didn't work. So, but we had to push through because we don't want to. We were trying to stay on track.
Yes.
And make our recordings happen, even though we're pretty late tonight. So, and stuff is broke. But we're going to continue forward.
It's fine.
We're going to kick off a new series because I was tired of doing the last one. I got tired of it.
Mm-hmm,
so if you missed the last series was all about how the enemy tries to keep us out of scripture and mm-hmm. and lies that he tells, and we just debunk those lies. And then I had enough about debunking his lies, so I was ready to move on. And this one's kind of personal, actually. Steph, you want to tell them what we're doing next, what the new series is? It's probably be, I would say, maybe six or seven episodes of this series. But we start this new one. What is it, Steph?
Things I will not keep apologizing for.
Things I will not keep apologizing for. This is real, quite personal to me. I think we teased this a little bit on the last episode. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. I think we did.
We did.
God's been working on me for a while on this, and there's some ways in which, as a pastor, and this will come from like pastor standpoint, that, you know, I'm just not going to keep apologizing for any longer, right? That I just can't. And so I've made quite a few on this list, and we're just going to talk through them. And they might affect you too. I mean, they're not exclusively for a pastor. Maybe the first one sort of sounds like it a little bit more, but the second one for sure doesn't. And then, you know, there's one in here. I don't remember what episode it'll be, 3 or 4 or something in the series, but there's one in here that's, you know, I'm not going to keep apologizing for taking rest and taking time off and things like that. You know what I mean? And so I'm just going to give it to you from my perspective. God's been working on me for a while on this, and I just think it'll help. So today, the first episode in this series, what number are we on? What number is this?
Episode 236.
236. The first one in this series, Things I Will Not Keep Apologizing For, is I will not apologize any longer for preaching the Bible. So I'm a pastor, and that means I spend a lot of time loving people, listening to people, and sometimes disappointing people. It's just kind of part of the job.
Yeah.
And there have been many times that I've felt pressure to apologize for things that I shouldn't have to apologize for, right?
Yeah.
And I end up saying, you know, I end up apologizing or saying something that alludes to apology about something, and later going, you know, I really shouldn't be apologizing for that. And it's not because I'm stubborn, and it's not because I'm always right, but faithfulness sometimes sounds offensive in a world that prefers comfort. And so, especially when we're talking about the Bible, it sometimes can come across and sound like it's offensive when really it's just calling out things that the Bible calls out. And I'm just trying to be faithful to the scripture. There's a lot of pressure that most people never see. And it doesn't come out in like loud arguments. It comes out in quiet conversations, in very careful sentences that sound something like this. Especially when you're preaching through, you know, pieces of scripture that are much harder to hear, right? And I actually think that the more you listen to scripture, the more you read scripture, the more you are consistently offended by it, because it offends the sinfulness in our nature all the time. But there's some scriptures that are really easy and everybody wants to hear them because they're so comforting, right? And then you teach through certain things and, you know, it comes across as offensive, but it's just the scripture. And this pressure that happens is from these sort of comments that are very carefully constructed, and it sounds something like this. Pastor, I know you meant well, but, right? Or, Pastor, that message came across a little strong. It was a little too tough. You could have been more sensitive with it. Pastor, maybe we should focus on the more positive things. Like 2 weeks ago, I had someone say to me after a message that I didn't consider to be that, I don't know, aggressive. And they said, you know, you just, maybe we could do a series on things that are more positive and comforting, right? And I was like, well, and I feel tempted then to apologize. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Even though all I'm really doing is being faithful to the scripture. The message underneath those statements, like the message underneath, maybe we can preach on things a little bit more comforting or uplifting or positive. The message underneath is, could you please make the Bible more easier to accept? That's mm-hmm. what it is, right? And can you make it less sharp? Can you make it less uncomfortable? Can you make it easier to digest, not in learning and knowledge, but in the way that the scriptures confront our idolatry, our sinfulness, you know, our pride and ego, the way the scripture will consistently confront all the ways in which Jesus is not number one in our life and the sins that we just kind of justify, right? And so the message beneath all that is, you know, can you make it easier not to understand, but easier to accept it, right? In other words, people will say sometimes that they don't want the word watered down, but when you give people the word the way the word is and you're faithful to the word, what you end up getting them saying is can you please just make this not sound so tough? And over time, what ends up happening is you start to wonder, well, maybe I should soften it, right? Maybe I should skip certain passages because these passages are going to be really hard, and maybe it's just not the right timing to preach on that, so maybe I should just ignore that part or leave that part out or come back to that part later when the things in the culture are a little different. So you find yourself like questioning whether I should be faithful to the scripture or not. You know what I mean? Like, does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
And I don't ever want to do that, but that's what ends up happening is you end up going, you almost feel this need to apologize for these things. And I'm just saying right now, I'm not going to apologize for that no more, right? Because what happens is this, when you stand there to preach, there is this quiet weight, right? This real subtle, under the surface, nobody can see it weight. And it's not the weight of public speaking. It's not the weight of, oh, I'm going to get up in front and perform in front of people. It's not that weight. And it's not the weight of expectations, right? It's the weight of responsibility. Right. Yeah. There is a weight of responsibility because preaching is not given a motivational speech. Right. And it's not sharing opinions and it's not storytelling. That's not what preaching is. Mm-hmm. It's standing between God's word and God's people and trying imperfectly to be faithful. Right. Faithful to God, faithful to his word, and faithful to his people. Right. It is trying to preaching is trying to be faithful to the word of God and the stirring and direction of the Holy Spirit, right? Not trying to make things sound good enough to be taken or accepted easier. That's not the plan. That's not what we're trying to do. And it's terrifying, Steph. It's terrifying. Right. And it's not terrifying because you're in front of a crowd, right? Although the majority of people have a fear of public speaking. Like if you go to a funeral, this is a cool analogy. If you go to a funeral, more people in that crowd at the funeral gathered there are more people are scared to be up front giving the eulogy than they are to be the one in the casket, because more people are scared of public speaking than they are of death, right? But that's not what's terrifying about it. And it's not terrifying about, you know, let me make sure that I meet the expectations of the people that are listening. That's not the terrifying thing.
Right.
The terrifying thing is the responsibility that is there. The terrifying thing is that there is this accountability to God for pastoring and teaching and leading people. I don't know if did you have time to pull this verse up?
Yeah, I did.
Hebrews 13:17 is just a quick verse talking about this accountability that I will have to King Jesus, right? In the end. Read what it says, Steph.
Okay. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you.
Yeah, because they have to give an account. That is terrifying to me.
That is terrifying.
Right? Because I am going to give an account to God if I was faithful to preaching and teaching his word and shepherding his people correctly. I'm going to give an account. Like, to me, I don't know what that fully looks like in glory, in the judgment. I don't know what that looks like. But I take the word at face value on those things, and it sounds like what it's going to be, at minimum, is a conversation between every preacher and teacher of the word and King Jesus on you giving an account of how faithful you were to the scriptures, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I would much rather not apologize to you instead of having to apologize to King Jesus. You know what I'm saying?
For
not being faithful,
right.
For not being faithful to the scriptures.
This is temporary
Right. I'm going to give an account of how faithful I am to the word of God and how faithful I am at shepherding his people. And so the questions are going to be like, what's in my mind? What makes that pressure there is, did I say what needed to be said? Or did I just say what people wanted to hear? Right.
Yeah.
Did I preach truth, or did I just lean on comfort? And did I point people towards life, or just towards them feeling better about their issues and their problems? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, was I effective in teaching the gospel in the way that Jesus would teach the gospel, right? Or did I hold back because I was too scared of offending or too scared of being too intense, or you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
And that's the part that is the weight there, because there's this account that's got to be given. So I just can't apologize anymore for teaching the word of God, right? The unadulterated, just how it is, word of God. I just can't apologize for that anymore. It's about loving people enough to tell them the truth, right? That's what it's about. Like, if somebody really loves you, they will tell you the truth. Withholding the truth is not really love. And I was thinking about this, like, if you go to a doctor and the doctor refuses to tell you what's wrong with you because they're worried that you're going to be upset, right? That's not kindness. That's neglect. Right. And it's the same thing with the word. If you go to a pastor or a preacher, or you listen to a message or whatever it may be, somebody is expounding upon the word of God for the people, and they choose to hold back certain information or not give the full truth. That's not love. That is neglecting them. I don't want to be the shepherd who has a bunch of neglected sheep. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be that. And
yeah.
I'll be honest with you. There have been plenty of times where I've walked away from a sermon and I thought, maybe I should apologize. Like, maybe I should apologize for using that particular scripture, or saying it in the way I said it, or being so rigid and dogmatic about it. There's been times. And it's not because it's wrong. It's because it made people feel uncomfortable, right? You know, when you make people feel uncomfortable, you know, I don't even know if I should say this on here, but let's just do it. We just did a series recently, right, where we were talking about relationships, and two of those relationships were what you would call romantic relationship series. Like, one was the one on dating and one's one on marriage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when we talked through and read the scriptures, I mean, even what Jesus says, we talked through and affirmed, not in some blasting way, but we read the scriptures that talks about man and woman, right? Husband and wife. Even where Jesus reiterates in this concourse that ends up happening about divorce, where Jesus reiterates that in the beginning, and he talks about man leaving his father and mother, cleaving to his wife, the two becoming one flesh, like Jesus affirming what biblical marriage is. And there was all kinds of passages, because how do you talk about marriage without in a message without using the Bible, right? You have to.
That's right.
Right? And so it wasn't like a message where we were condemning anybody, right? But it wasn't even specific like that. It wasn't like, does the Bible say this is okay? It wasn't that style of message. But I'm talking
through. Yeah, it was a good message.
I'm talking through what marriage is. And I know for a fact, I'm looking at them when I speak, that there's several couples in the crowd and singles in the crowd, like during the dating message, that struggle with their sexuality, that aren't in these type of biblical relationships we talk about. And I'm looking at them while I'm reading the scripture, right?
Yeah.
And there's occasions where I'll finish the message and go, maybe I should apologize to them. And then, it's not because of the, I don't know how to explain it. It's not that I'm going to, it's just that I feel the need to, because I know that they were really uncomfortable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I care for them.
Yeah.
Because I love them. I care for them.
You have compassion.
Right?
Then, yes.
But lately I've really realized something more and more and more. That if the message is truly rooted in Scripture, then apologizing is apologizing for faithfulness. And faithfulness is
good.
Something that never needs to be apologized
right.
for.
You're right?
Right. You know what I mean? Like if your message is truly rooted in Scripture and you apologize for it, then you're apologizing for being faithful in the Scripture. And I just cannot do that. Right? I just cannot do that. And I'm not saying that I have. I've just felt the pressure to.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
And I can't apologize for faithfulness. Like,
yeah.
What I'm called to do is to be faithful to the Word, to be faithful to the shepherding of His people, and faithful to and true to the Holy Spirit's call and direction. And one of the greatest lies in our time right now is that truth and love are two opposites. That truth and grace, or truth and love, we'll just use grace, that truth and grace can't coexist. That they're opposites. And so you either got to tell someone the truth, and then when you tell someone the truth, then you're not being graceful with them. Or you're graceful with them, but you're graceful with them by holding back. You end up holding back the truth of the gospel, right? And that's almost always around sin, right? Almost always.
Yeah.
But I think that they're not opposites. I don't think they just coexist. I think they're inseparable. I think that truth and grace are two things that are inseparable, that you cannot really give somebody grace if you're not also giving truth. And you can't fully give somebody truth if you also don't give people grace at the same time. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
I'm not making this up. This comes specifically from Jesus. So in the Gospel of John, starts off in a very different way than the other three Gospels. When John starts to talk about Jesus in the beginning, he doesn't go to the birth story. He doesn't start with a genealogy. He's not going to Bethlehem at the end where there's no room for Mary and Joseph, right? John just goes all the way back to like the beginning. He's like, in the beginning, there was God was there. Jesus was there, right? He goes all the way back to the beginning. And in that little short little discourse he says in John chapter 1, he references this about Jesus. Will you read John 1:14?
Yes.
John 1:14, read that stuff.
The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Full of grace and truth. That Jesus is full of perfectly grace and truth. That the two things cannot be separated, right? That they're inseparable. That grace and truth have to exist in order for us to be faithful to the Scripture, right? And so they both got to be there. And I'm not going to apologize anymore for sharing truth, right? I'm not going to do it. And there is this temptation on us in the culture
yep.
to sort of be like, well, I know that's not, here's what the Bible says, right? And you say the truth. But then you sort of apologize for it, and you go, well, I know that that's not your situation, or, and I know that might be, here's something you'd say, this is how the apology would sound. I know this might be hard to hear, right? I just don't want to do that no more.
Yeah, you don't have to.
And I don't, and that doesn't mean that the grace won't be included, right? Truth
right.
and grace have to be there, both of them, right? The goal for us is to continually morph into who we've been made to be in Jesus, right? As we're sanctified closer and closer to Him, then we become people full of grace and truth, just like Jesus. And we're not going to always get it right.
Right.
The way this kind of works is that most of us are heavy-handed on one or the other, right? Like if you think about yourself, you might be somebody who is, you'll throw the truth out there in a heartbeat, but you tend to do it in a way that's not real graceful, right? And then there's some people who are going to be real graceful and accommodating, but they just can't bring themselves to fully lay the truth out there because they feel like it's too harsh. And all of us end up somewhere on that spectrum where we're trying to balance that out. Jesus is full of both. So he's who we need to emulate. And if you look at Jesus throughout the scriptures, take that one verse from John 1:14, and then walk through John and look at all the places you see him do it. What you will see Jesus do is you will see him make grace and truth sandwiches, right? So the woman at the well, there's grace, there's a bun of grace, there's some bologna of truth, and then there's a bun of grace at the end, right? The woman caught in adultery on the ground, about to throw rocks at her, Jesus is over there drawing pictures in the sand, right? Grace, truth, and grace. You know what I mean? Like, it's always there. And people are drawn to him, not just because he's graceful and kind, but because he's also truthful, right? And I just cannot, I can no longer apologize for the scripture and the Bible when what that really means is I'm just being faithful to the scripture. Faithfulness is not something you ever have to apologize for. And I just can't do it anymore. What I'm saying right now is here's what I'm learning. This is sort of sum it up. Here's what I'm learning. I'm going to listen. I'm going to learn, right? I'm going to grow. I'm going to care as deeply about people as I can. When I start to feel jaded and all those things, I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to take a time out. I'm going to get some guidance so that I consistently, deeply care about people, right? I want to care about people on the level that Jesus cares about people. So I'm going to do all those things, but I'm not going to keep apologizing for preaching the Bible, right? I'm not going to do it. And I'm not going to no longer, and maybe I'm just saying this to myself, that I'm no longer going to feel this pressure to make sure that things are worded in a way that people accept, right? Or feel this pressure to make it easier to digest. There is scripture that is relatively easy to digest, and there is scripture that's not. And I'm not going to cut up those pieces of the part that's hard to digest in small pieces so it's easy to digest. We're just going to chew on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because if the Bible does not offend you, then you are not reading it.
Yeah,
true. It will offend everything about you deeply, right? Deeply. All you got to do, if you want me to prove the point, because some people hear that and go, I'm not offended by the Bible. I believe everything in it. Well, I believe it too, but it still offends me. Like, for example, take you a second, do a word study through the scriptures on pride and read everyone about pride and tell me that it doesn't start to offend you, right? Here's one I'm doing right now. Mm-hmm. I'm doing this one right now. I'm doing a word study through the scriptures because I'm going to teach on this, mm-hmm. on the power of words in our life, and I'm doing one on complaining.
Right? Whoa.
And
yeah, that'll
I
be good.
Didn't get past the first section on complaining without feeling very offended, like very, like cut down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like cut down. Just chopped right into my chest. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I mean, convicted is the best word. Like, I was immediately like, oh my gosh,
oh,
I am so horrible. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like I struggle with this so much. I didn't get past the first second. You know, the big thing in the scripture, this elongated part about complaining is found with the Israelites, right? When they're in captivity, and then also when they're walking around, you know, in the desert as they head towards the promised land. Literally, you can sum up their entire existence during that period with God's doing amazing things, and all they're doing is complaining.
True.
Right? And it offends me because that's me,
yeah.
especially here lately. That's me. And so the Bible is offensive. The truth is the truth. And it is intended to, it is intended to convict and convince and empower, right? It is intended to. It is a double-edged sword that cuts deep to the
yep.
deep to the bone, all the way to the marrow, right? That's what the Word of God does. And I'm not going to apologize for teaching anymore because that's called faithfulness. And there's going to be an account that I'm going to have to give one day for that. And I would rather not apologize to you than have to apologize to God. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Amen. And this has been something that has been stirring in me lately. I've always been a very aggressive, direct preacher, right? Mm-hmm. Passionate, emotional. That's just who I am, and it comes out in that way. And I usually don't shy away from the things that are, you know, that are confronting.
Yeah.
But I have still felt this all these years. I've felt this little pressure in the background to be like, you know, well, I didn't, you know, I'm sorry that that came across that way, or I'm sorry that might have been too harsh, or I'm sorry I was so direct. You know, it's not that I'm saying those things. I'm feeling them.
Yeah.
You know, and I just can't do it anymore. And that stirred up a whole lot a couple of weeks ago when the person just was like, you know, you've been quite harsh lately. You've been quite direct. Maybe we can do some more uplifting stuff. And I was like, no, I'm sorry that you didn't like it, but I'm going to be faithful to the Word of God and what the Holy Spirit says. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And also, I mean, just to add to that, they can do that during the week. If they need more positive, whatever. Because, I mean, if that's what they're looking for. But at the end of the day, you got to preach how you're led by the Lord.
So. When I think that all Scripture, obviously, we should be preaching all of it, not just leaving parts of it
out.
Right. But I think that all of it is, all Scripture is encouraging and convicting.
Yeah.
It just depends on how you look at it, right? You know, like people like to quote the things that are real, real encouraging, right? And that's the ones that you want to focus on, right? But even those that are encouraging, if you actually read them for what they are more convicting as well, right? You know, like things like I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, right? Plans to give you hope in the future. If you begin to read through that, you'll see that, well, what's happening there is that those people are, they are citizens of a different nation living like, you know, exiles, right? Mm-hmm. And he is telling them to be faithful where they are, even though it's not a good place to be, right? There's some conviction in that Scripture. It's not just some little nice little thing that makes you feel fluffy inside. You know what I mean? Like, you can't read that God loves you and God is love without reading what love costs.
Yep.
Right? You know what I mean? Like, and all Scripture is encouraging, I think, but it's also all convicting, right?
Yeah.
If Jesus is the Word in the flesh and he is full of grace and truth, then I believe every word of the Scripture is full of grace and truth, both of them. And so if I'm kind of joining those together, I'd say convicting and encouraging, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every bit of it. So there's no need to apologize for being faithful to the convicting parts of Scripture, right?
Right.
And if someone does not want to hear it, then we're going to take what – I've been doing this a lot over the last couple of years – we're going to take what Jesus says. Jesus references it multiple times. He says, let those who have ears to hear, let them hear. You know what he's also implying? Let those who don't have ears to hear, not hear. That's what he's implying, right? In other words, this is the Word of God. I'm not apologizing for it. Is what it is.
Yep.
So I'm going to take my cues from Jesus on that. That's all I got. So
I respect the first one.
So
yeah.
You told me to do this series. So I'm listening to you. You said do it. So we're going to do it.
Hey, we're being led by the Lord. We're being led by the Lord. Oh, credit to Jesus. But you know what? Seriously, though, like hearing you speak on this, I mean, it's very, very just respect you, because that's a very hard thing to do. Like to have that calling and then you have to, you know, you have to tell the truth or not tell the truth. You're responsible for it, though.
Yeah.
And it's costing people. So at the end of the day, and it costs you, you know, it's important to tell the truth. And so I respect that.
And if you really love people, then you tell them the truth.
Exactly.
Right? You tell them the truth.
Why would you lie to make them feel good? That makes no sense.
And if you tell yourself, well, I'm loving them, so I'm going to do this in a nicer, easier way, right? Are we really loving them? Like, go back to that analogy a few minutes ago. If you go to the doctor and the doctor does not tell you fully what's going on, that is not love.
Right.
That is neglect. Right? It's neglect.
You're right.
And so I just, you know, I lose sleep sometimes thinking about giving an account of all the preaching and teaching and leadership in the church, right? Because there's been plenty of times where I ain't done it right. You know what I mean? I'm not saying I'm going to get this thing right. It's perfect. I'm not. But I take it very seriously, you know? And this is just the Spirit taking me even more seriously.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Does
that make sense? It's by His grace and mercy that you have grown into who you are now, and you continue to grow.
And I think that this is something that every pastor feels but does not want to say.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, you're right.
They feel it, but they don't want to say
it. And it's the culture, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
Yep. Anyway.
This was great.
This was good, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yes. So I want to say something.
Yeah.
With all of you hearing this, whoever your pastor is, pray for your pastor and
absolutely.
Thank God for your pastor.
Yep. And you know that scripture that we read, the first part of that, talking about the giving account, it says honor them, listen to them, do what they say.
Yep.
Obviously, the implication there is that they are godly, that they are, you know, teaching the scripture, teaching the word, they're faithful to that. You know what I mean?
Like, yes.
That's the implication, right?
Yeah.
If somebody is not godly and faithful to those things, then don't just blindly do what they say. Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Right, right.
There's context to it. Yeah, what he said.
But you are right, yes.
Yeah.
Be thankful and pray. Pray for and be thankful for people who are willing to be held accountable for teaching you in the Word.
Yes.
Yeah.
All righty.
Thanks.
Well, we'll talk to y'all next time.
All right, see you later.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.